Good morning, everyone. There's a lot of people. We can do better than that. Good morning, everyone. It is a great day. Amen? Right? Not only is it beautiful weather outside, but it's Easter. What kind of response is that? It's Easter! There we go. There we go. My name's Josh Morford. I'm the student minister, youth minister. Call me whatever you want, as long as you don't call me a sad Illini fan this morning, because I'm not. Although my team's not in it, so it's whatever. But it's a great day. If you're a guest here especially, we want to let you know that we are so glad that you are here with us this morning. Like Jeff said earlier, MCC is the church that is for God and for you. And if you're in this place thinking, for me? Yes, for you. This church is for you. We're for Muhammad, we're for our local community, and we want you to know that you're not here by mistake. You have been prayed for, and we are glad you're here. And today, we are going to discuss and celebrate the greatest day in history. Easter is as good as it gets, folks. Easter is the awesome day. Don't get me wrong, Christmas from like pageantry and like Christmas songs and Christmas gifts, that's pretty great, right? But there is no greater gift than the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift. And so today we're going to talk together about why the empty tomb changes our life and why it changes our standing and why it changes our destination. And those are exciting things. I just spoiled my whole sermon. I wasn't planning on doing that. But if you didn't know it, hey, there you go. Let's pray and let's get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so glad to be here. We're so glad to be in your presence with all of these beautiful people dressed in their Easter best. Lord, it is a good Sunday. And we are so excited. Lord, we just pray that you would fill this place with your spirit this morning, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would convict us, and that you would help us to understand who you are. Lord, we love you. We can't wait to be in heaven with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Easter is the culmination of God's victorious plan of redemption. And the empty tomb is the ultimate confirmation of Jesus' claims about himself, his divinity, and his victory over death. That's the stakes of what we're talking about today. And I just want us to understand the stakes. So we're going to start off turning to 1 Corinthians 15. If you don't want to turn your Bible, we have the slides. I double-checked and triple-checked, and I had secondhand confirmation the slides are correct this time. So let's read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." Friends, the tomb is everything. The tomb is the victory. Because I have good news for you, my friends. The tomb is empty. Right? Jesus Christ is not in the ground anymore. He is not dead. He is alive. That works. It's risen. He's risen. Okay. But alive is the same thing. It's fine. It's whatever. Whew. So the empty tomb means that we are no longer still in our sins. It means that the cross did all the things that we talk about the cross doing. It means that Jesus is alive, and it means that we get to share in his victory over death. And so the very first thing I want us to understand today is that the empty tomb changes our standing with God. I would be a very bad preacher if I didn't take this opportunity to share with you the good news, the gospel of God's plan of redemption. And that plan starts with this simple fact. In the beginning, God created. He created the world. He created the mountains and the sun and the moon and the cute puppies and the cats that I don't like, but you probably do. And he made all the other things. But the thing that God made that was most important to him was you. Right? God made humanity in his image. And he made humanity to be in relationship with God. Right, that's important. You were created to know God and to be known by God. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked with God. They had a close personal relationship with God. And that's what our soul longs for. That's what we were made for. That's what we were created for, to know God and to be known by God. But there's a problem, because God lets us choose. Lets us choose him, and he lets us choose other things. And we sinned. And sin broke the creation. If you don't know what sin is, if this is maybe your first time in church and you've heard that word used in a lot of negative contexts, to sin means to miss the mark. See, God has certain standards that he wants us to follow, not because God hates fun or because God's a lame-o, but because God knows what's best for us and wants what's best for us. But the reality is that we fail to meet that standard. If you're sitting in this room today, congratulations, you're a sinner. Me too. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a problem. This is the problem that Good Friday and Easter have to solve. Because sin has consequence. When you break the rules, when you fail to meet the standards, something has to happen. And in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did I nail it? Yes, nailed it. Okay. I always get a little scared when I'm just looking at you guys. But we nailed it. So you see the problem, right? The wages of sin is death, right? How many of you have worked a day in your life? Wow, I need to figure out how you guys don't work. That'd be nice. Right? When you work, you get paid a wage, right? That is the agreed amount that you and your employer have decided to give you for an hour of your pay, or the federal government says you have to be paid this much money, right? A wage is a payment. So the wages of sin is death, right? And this death that we're talking about is the bad kind, right? Everybody dies. Well, except like Enoch and Elijah and Jesus the second time. But the kind of death we're talking about this morning is spiritual death, right? Eternal separation from God. The person, the being that we were created to know, the being that we were created to have a relationship for. Because of our sin, right, we were cut off. We were separated from God permanently because God is holy and cannot abide sin. He can't be around sin. But the problem with that, in God's eyes, is that God created us to know him and to be known by him. And God loves you. Think about that just for a second. The creator of the universe, the creator of everything good, loves you. Even if you're an Illini fan, God still loves you. Even though that 30-0 run doesn't feel like he does, God still loves you. Guys, that was rough. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to make so much fun of you, but I'm sorry. God loves you, right? He loves you. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to come to this earth. And Jesus did the one thing that you and I can't do. Jesus didn't sin. He lived the perfect life. But Jesus died on a cross in my place and in your place. We get to read this in Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still the enemies of God, Jesus died for you. That, my friends, is good news. Because on the cross and in the tomb, Jesus wins victory over sin. Jesus wins victory over death. Jesus wins victory over the enemy, and he gives us that victory as a gift of grace, freely given. All we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is trust Him as our Lord and our Savior and follow Him and put Him on in the waters of baptism, and we are forgiven. Our standing goes from sinner to saved, from condemned to free. Our standing is changed by the empty tomb. I just want to share, we already shared this passage once this morning, so I could probably skip it, but then the slide people will get worried. Let's just read Luke 24. It is one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, because this is where we see for the first time in Luke that Jesus is not dead. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And they remembered his words. Right? Jesus is alive. The Bible tells us, and if you don't believe the Bible, there are other good reasons that we can know Jesus is alive. I know if you're here, maybe you're like, "I don't trust the Bible. This is my first time in church. I thought I was going to burst into flames when I walked in the door." You're still here. Congratulations. God loves you. God loves you. But Jesus appeared to over 400 people in the 40 days that he was on the earth before he ascended. And those people then took the good news of the gospel, the good news of the resurrection, and they spread it around the world. And those people died for it. They were tortured. They were martyred. They were crucified upside down. They were flayed alive. If you don't know what that is, don't look it up. It's bad. They were speared. They were pulled behind chariots. And they were given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to say, "No, no, no, man, I made it up. That Jesus guy, he's dead. We stole his body. He didn't really raise from the dead." Every single one of them chose death, painful death, proclaiming that Jesus is alive. I don't know about you. I am not dying for a lie. If I tell a lie and you come at me with punishment, I'm out. I'm gonna sing like a canary. I'm gonna rat. In college, a couple of my friends got the good idea that there's this cutout Pillsbury Doughboy, and we stole it. They stole it. I just helped cover it up. But at Bible college, guys, that's a scandal. Somebody stole the Pillsbury Doughboy. And they came down hard. And when they came down hard with punishment, I was like, "It's in my room. It's in my room. Don't kick me out. I'm sorry. I'll tell you the names. I'll tell you who took them. I ain't dying for a lie. I ain't getting kicked out of school for a lie." And every single one of those apostles suffered, were tortured, and killed, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. So we can know that Jesus is alive, and because of that, our standing has changed. And because of that, our destination is changed. Right? We go from death to eternal life. From eternal separation from God into eternity in God's presence. That's hell and that's heaven. Hell might have fire, might have brimstone, might have a lake. We're not 100% sure, but we do know that there is the absence of God entirely. The being that you were created to know, the being you were created to have a relationship with, he's not there for eternity. But when you have the cross, when you have the tomb, you get to have the eternal presence of God, the eternal presence of your creator, the eternal presence of a being that created you for laughter and joy and relationship. That's the beauty of the empty tomb. That's the beauty of the resurrection. We get to read in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And Jesus tells us that I have come to give you life everlasting. Right? The sting of death is no more. The sting of death is gone. This is the gospel. This is the good news that I hope and I pray that you understand. Jesus will change your destination. He will change your standing. All you have to do is trust him, follow him, and put him on in baptism. In Romans 5, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Right? Baptism is being placed in that tomb with Jesus. And then just like we sang in Glorious Day, we get to come running out of our grave into new life, into resurrected life with our standing changed, our destination changed. And that, my friends, is the beauty of the tomb. However, that's also the challenge of the tomb. Because the final point today is that the empty tomb has to change how we live our life. Right? The empty tomb has to affect us. It has to do something inside of us. It has to do something with how we live our life. Right? The good news of the gospel is news that demands to be shared. It's news that demands to be screened from the mountains. It's news that demands to be told to our friends, to our neighbors. It has to change the course and direction of our life. If you've been here for the last 4 weeks or so, you know that this series has been called The Road to Easter, and we've been talking about roads. And today, we're going to real quick look at the story of called The Road to Emmaus. Because on this story, there are two men, and they're leaving Jerusalem. We don't know exactly why they're leaving Jerusalem, but they are followers of Jesus, so maybe they're afraid. Because at this point, the apostles are hiding in an upper room thinking that they're going to be killed. Maybe they're just going home because Jesus is dead. And like, if you're a follower of Jesus and your leader's dead, there's not a lot you can do now, right? So they're going home. They're going to Emmaus. It's a town outside of Jerusalem. We're not going to read the whole story. But Jesus shows up on the road. And God does some God stuff because God does God stuff. And so Jesus is like hidden from them. They can't tell this is Jesus. And Jesus starts explaining to these men about why he had to die. Starts explaining some finer points of the gospel. And these guys they're feeling it. They're really enjoying it. So they invite Jesus to come eat with them. And then when Jesus is eating with them, he breaks the bread. And then instantly God does some God stuff. And these guys are like looking. And this guy's like got like glasses on. And then like in a movie, Jesus takes his glasses off. And you're like, Superman? I didn't know Clark Kent was Superman, right? Like, they know it's Jesus. And then Jesus does more God stuff and does a miracle here. He teleports. He just disappears. He's gone, right? That's the coolest miracle, in my opinion. God can now, Jesus can teleport. He's just like, peace. But this is where we pick up the story. They've been spending time with Jesus. They've been hanging out with Jesus. Now they know for a fact that Jesus is alive. And I want you just to listen to what their response is. Because this is the question I want to ask you, Christian, today. What's your response to the tomb? What will the tomb make you do? Picking up Luke 24, verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, God stuff, and he disappeared from their sight. More God stuff. Pretty cool. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while they talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Right? These guys drop everything they had planned. They were going to Emmaus. They had another destination in mind. But the second they knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they had to go and tell it. They had to go and share it. They weren't just going to sit there and keep living their life. The resurrection of Jesus changes us. It motivates us. It fires us up. And if the resurrection doesn't do anything for you right now, if you're jaded because this is your like 50th, 60th, 70th Easter, and you're just used to it now, then maybe you don't really truly grasp the magnitude of the empty tomb. Because if we truly do grasp the magnitude, it will change everything for us. The empty tomb means that when I die, I get to go and be with my family. My family that's been gone now for years. I get to see them again. The empty tomb means that when I die, I get to go and be with Jesus. And I get to ask him all of the questions that I've ever wanted. I get to worship him for eternity. I get to have life everlasting. Because of Jesus, because of the tomb, I get to stand here and tell you that my sins have been taken as far as the east is from the west, and that I can approach the throne of God with confidence that I belong. The empty tomb means that I can stand here and say that death has no dominion over me, and that death has no dominion over you. So that when we lose a loved one, we don't have to say goodbye. We get to say see you later if they're in Jesus. And death can become this beautiful thing instead of this terrible, painful, evil thing that it is. Because Jesus is now victor over death. And Jesus is now the victor over sin. I want to share one last verse with you, and we'll be wrapping up. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Friends, the empty tomb can be the source of our hope, the source of our strength, the source of our joy. But we have to stand firm upon it. We have to allow it to be the rock, the firm foundation upon which we stand. Through the tomb, God shouts into the world that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the victor. The tomb must change our life just as much as it changes our standing with God, just as much as it changes our destination. The gospel must be preached, right? Jesus wants Christians who are going to go forth into the world to make his name known. That we get to run out of our grave into resurrected life, and our job is to get as many people to run out of that grave with us. The Great Commission is our guide to go and make disciples of all nations. How is the tomb changing your life? We're going to close with a time of invitation. And I want to just right now just speak to anyone here who maybe your status is still sinner. Right? Maybe you haven't yet accepted Jesus this morning. Maybe this Easter you just decided that, yeah, I'll go to church. What's the worst thing that could happen? They're going to feed me breakfast. Make my neighbor happy. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling that you want to share in this victory. Maybe death just really scares you. Or maybe you are convinced that you have a hole in you that only Jesus can fill. Whatever it may be, Jesus wants to change your standing this morning. Jesus wants to take you from sinner to saved. He wants to take you to condemned into freedom. He wants to take you from eternal separation into eternal presence. He wants to spend eternity with you, the God, the creator of the universe. And if God's speaking into you this morning, I just want to give you the opportunity to respond. We're going to sing a song here in a second. I'm going to be down front. And if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord, if you want to accept him as your Savior, if you want to put him on in baptism, we can make that happen today. We might have to wait to fill up the water, but we can do that. But I want to encourage you to respond, because there's no better day to accept the gospel than on the day where Jesus declares his victory over death and Jesus declares his victory over sin. So let's stand and